whatever goal you're trying to accomplish out there as the listeners, it doesn't have to be building a house. It could be anything. Reach out and start to connect with people.
Welcome to the System Build Lifestyle, a special Art of Construction series dedicated to the growing world of off-site construction. Host Devin Tilley, owner of Mountain View Window and Door and founder of the Art of Construction, alongside Audrey Kubesek of Modular SureSite and Connect Home Builders, take listeners on a deep dive through this fascinating subject. Off-site construction techniques are changing the industry. Keep following the System Build Lifestyle series so you don't get left behind.
All right, Audrey, this one is going to be so much fun because I'm bringing some of my best buddies in the industries, Lance Psycho and Alex Gore, who are the principals who own F9 Productions and do all kinds of other cool stuff. Like, we definitely connected, us guys from North Dakota, and we just have all these ideas, but we want to execute on those ideas. And they actually have their own podcast that we'll talk about. They've been on the Art of Construction Show 74. And why I want to have them in and what we're going to do is I want some other people to come in and learn with us and talk through that. So I'm going to put you on the spot, and you got to come up with questions, and we're going to play Jeopardy, the three of us.
Oh my gosh, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait.
All right, let's go and have the speed round and have some fun. What's your favorite beverage?
Now it's sparkling water.
Come on.
Yeah. Sparkling water.
Where is the Bud Light?
It's gone. I stopped drinking.
Good
I stopped
for you.
Drinking.
Oh, wow.
Do you feel incredible?
I feel incredible. And then I had a Bud Light. I was on a date with my wife and my little boy. And the next day, I just felt terrible. Just one. It was like a Blue Moon or something like that. So no more drinking.
I love
Done.
Blue Moon, though.
Well, it's a different speed round from when we had Al on show 74, Building from the Fundamentals, where we talked a lot about Bud Light. So that's the beauty of having people back, and the only constant is change. So tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
Utah. And I love Utah. The last time I said Europe, but I think our backyards can be explored a little bit more. And a lot of people go down to the Grand Canyon, which is great. But the difference in geography in Utah, when you cut across it, is absolutely amazing from east to west. When you start in Arches and then just go straight across, even before you hit Bryce Canyon and all those famous ones, it's just mind-blowing. I feel like I'm on a different planet, and it's awesome.
It is beautiful. Moab's awesome. One of my faves.
Speaking of planets, do you guys see the SpaceX yesterday?
Yeah.
I'm just fascinated by the whole the SpaceX Tesla thing that they got the rocket out there. That's pretty cool to see. Tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena.
Now, I would just say I'm getting back into reading. I used to do a lot in college, and things just got crazy with business, but now I'm pulling back in the morning, spending at least a half hour reading. So that's what I'm into.
Tell us what book are you reading right now and something you've learned from it?
Delirious New York. It's an architecture book by Rem Koolhaas. And the craziness that New York did back in the 1890s, 1870s, and 1910s blow your mind of what we think of political correctness. So they had Coney Island, and essentially they had attractions. And one of the attractions was incubator babies. That was an attraction.
That's crazy. That's
crazy. And they said it was good because they were obviously saving babies' lives, but people never saw anything like that before. They'd put on fake fires and then put them out in like real fires. They'd have hundreds of thousands of people in like 2 acres. Just nuts what they do in New York back in the day. And it's all about the evolution of New York and how it came to be, and then how some of these icons like Rockefeller Center were developed. And so just if you like architecture, if you like New York, it's a good book.
Awesome. Well, we got to know a little bit about Alex Gore, and if you've listened to them on the Art of Construction, you can hear two different of ways of them hearing that story, and that's the challenge. We're going to peel back the layers today and talk through the different places where we've come from, where we're going here on System Build Lifestyle. So next we have Lance Psycho. What's your favorite beverage?
I still like to feel like crap in the morning, so I'm sticking to Malbec wine. I quit drinking for about 2 weeks at the beginning of the year because I usually dry out because I just, you know, I kind of shut down at the last 2 weeks of the year and just hang out at home and have usually a bottle of wine. I'm not joking, a day. I'm not, you know, going crazy or anything like that. But then I feel like I need to dry out. So I got so crabby within the first 2 weeks. My wife was like, well, maybe you should just have a drink or two. And I was like, absolutely. So I decided,
partner. He was almost unbearable.
Yeah.
I was like, you need to start drinking.
I would rather feel good at night after I come home and unwind, having dinner with my wife and my kids, and then feel crappy, a little bit crappy the next day, than not. Not just me being completely honest.
I absolutely love that. You got to know who you are and have a team that says, hey, you may need a little help here, you know?
And has my productivity went down?
No, it's been great. And I'm just more enjoyable.
Absolutely. I'm happy. So it's all good.
Well, you are a man of your word, though, because I had the pleasure of hanging out with you at your New Year's Eve party.
Oh, yeah.
And we were having a blast. And I was like, man, we can only do this. We're going to feel this tomorrow. And you're like, no, I'm going to keep going. But at the end of the year, I'm going to stop for a few weeks. So you did that.
I did, yeah. And it did feel good. But in the end, I'd rather be feel a little bit crappy in the morning. Not every morning.
All you have to do is just drink a little bit more water. You know, you drink your wine, a couple of glasses of water, you're fine in the morning.
Yes, I love it.
Good for you.
Tell us your favorite place you've traveled.
Most recently, it's a place in Italy. It's called Cinque Terre. And it's 5 fishing villages that you can only... You drive up to the top of the hill, and then you have to walk down. So my wife and I went there for our honeymoon this last summer. It was incredible. It was my favorite part about Italy because I wasn't driving amongst all the crazy Italians. We just got to walk around, and then you sleep in these little cool hotels where every morning you get woke up by like a chicken or a rooster. It was awesome.
Nice.
That just created a total picture, didn't it?
They're good at telling stories, man.
They are.
That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Tell us your favorite hobby or interest outside the construction arena.
Favorite one is gardening, 100%. And it's killing me right now that the only thing I'm able to grow are 3 tomato plants, as you saw at the New Year's Eve party in my house, which are my babies, but I can't wait until March when things start to warm up and we really start to get after it.
That's really cool because I actually love gardening too. I have a lemon tree, a lime tree, and an orange tree in my house, and avocado trees.
Do they awesome. Produce?
And I've done all of them from scratch.
Are you calling it your cilantro?
I'm getting there. But did you know that you can, on the gardening thing, because everybody wants to know, you can actually cut the bottom of a celery stalk, and you can cut a bottom of a romaine lettuce and put it in water, and it will grow. From water. So you never have to buy those plants ever again.
Are you getting lemon and limes?
I am. I do. The only thing I'm not getting fruit on are my avocado. Huh? My avocado trees, you have to have a female and a male to have fruit. I don't know how to tell the difference between those trees.
How big are those trees?
Yeah, they have to be dwarfs.
I have one that's like 12 feet tall. Lime tree is 12 feet tall.
This is in your house?
In my house. Incredible. And then in the summer, I bring them outside. So my goal is to get a greenhouse by the end of this summer coming
Good
up.
Good for you. That's incredible.
That's awesome.
I'll have to show you.
Just making guac 24/7.
There it is. That would be amazing, right? Got to get the avocado plant, though, going. Green.
All right. Well, we got to know a little bit about Lance and Alex, and you can tell the passion and the energy that's coming into this story
today. Super
fun. So,
well, she mentioned my favorite food group, which is chips and guac.
There it is.
So I'm on cloud 9.
So good for you.
For my wife and I went with 5 other couples, and we rented this house in Puerto Vallarta a few weekends ago. And the best part was we had the chef there that just made homemade salsa and guac. It was just there all day, every day, and it was so good. It was just like we just dumped it on everything. It was so good, yeah. Well, let me tee this up, and where we're going to go today is that we are all entrepreneurs at this table and all coming from in the construction arena that all love to try new things. And if you go back and listen to the Art of Construction show 74, I'm not going to go into the deep story there, but we connected through, social media and find out that we're both from North Dakota and had those connections. And that's what it's all about, tribes. So we're going to have some fun today. And as these first episodes on System Build Lifestyle, why I wanted to have Lance and Alex come in and have a conversation with us is to go to school with me. And what I mean by that is that these are hitters in the market when it comes to architecture and trying new things. And the F stands for all their different things they tried, and I just love that about them, and I'm a big fan of their podcast, Inside the Firm Podcast. So one of the things that we have been working behind the scenes, helping figure out what's the best way to do each other's podcasts, so we're going to take a few things and role reversal today. And I had the pleasure of Kevin and I, who run the Art of Construction podcast, giving the best and worst advice, which I love how they're really just putting themselves out there of what they're doing day to day, but also bringing people in to give their advice. So that's what you're going to do for us today on System Build Lifestyle. What we're going to do is we're going to have Audrey kind of tee us up, and we're going to go to school. And one thing that I love about they've done recently on their podcast is Jeopardy with their architect employees that have come from CU where you guys teach, and they have all these young guns that are asking questions that if you for your architect test, right? That's how you guys do it.
Yeah. So basically everyone that wants to become an architect has to take a test. So we decided we have a bunch of young guys studying that we'd play Jeopardy and ask some architecture related questions and see how it goes. So apparently we're going to do a version of that here
yes,
in construction.
And that's how we love to put people on the spot. I said, Audrey, come up with 10 questions, and the three of us are going to be the contestants. So Alex over here is going to ask the three of us these questions, and we'll see as we're all going to go to school on offsite construction or system build lifestyle to learn from each other. And that's what we're really trying to do on building out this system build lifestyle, is to be a place to learn where modular construction was, where it is today, and hey, let's us guys take it to the future the best way it can. Side notes, I'm talking with Katera. I'm working with them. It's amazing how much money is getting funded into the offsite construction world. They just got $865 million.
So, yeah, give a little overview about what that is, because I think it's a little confusing. A name doesn't really explain it, right?
Yeah, so Katera is started Silicon Valley startup that were not construction guys. They were startup systems guys, Silicon Valley, that, you know, they've got over $1 billion in their cash sitting there because everybody knows construction, labor shortages, and we got to work smarter, not harder. So they're coming from the systems side, not from the this is how we've always done it side. And they're trying to be the architect, the engineer, the product supplier, the contractor licensed, and by the way, Outback is their plant in Phoenix that just got going. So they're trying to put it all under one roof. So go to Katera, Katerra website, and you can watch their videos. Very different about how
they're approaching building and how it's
yeah, the Henry Ford assembly line process and how construction on on-site sticks and bricks construction still done like it's been doing when you guys went to architecture school, to where now how you're doing architecture plans. There's a lot of similarities on how things are done today. So with that being said, I want to give you guys the mic. Lance, tell us what Inside the Firm podcast is all about. So our listening audiences, we're all pulling all our tribes together. What the premise from your point of view and what your podcast is all about?
Our podcast is an inside raw look at what our day-to-day process is, but we do it in just a snapshot once a week. So every Friday we do a new episode, and it's kind of like a roundtable discussion that Alex and I have between ourselves about maybe some trials and tribulations that have come out through that week. Last week we did a little bit on a scam artist that tried to scam us, which was kind of hilarious. So sometimes it's hilarious, sometimes it's pretty serious, because maybe we're in a potential litigation and we'll actually, you know, without naming names, talk about how we're going through that process and trying to give an inside look of this is a raw look at what we're doing every day. And we try not to hold anything back besides, you know, we don't call people out. But it's been really helpful getting feedback from a bunch of students or younger professionals who are just thinking about starting their firm. And they message us or they email us and they say, hey, I just binged like over the whole weekend and listened to every single episode. I could not get enough of it because nobody else in the architecture community as architecture small business owners is just laying it out there for us. If this is exactly how, you know, trials and tribulations and what you do every day to day to get things done.
And we're trying to lay out not just the architecture, and we do some engineering too, but we also have our own development. So that design, build, develop perspective. And what's crazy about the last episode that we just went on, this scam, it was just Lance and I talking, because sometimes even though we're business partners, we can't discuss all the time because we're off doing things. So it's literally our weekly meeting between principals about what's going on. And I think that's what people find useful. But on the Entree Architect community, which, you know, they have a Facebook group, immediately when that came out, someone said, hey, I think this is a scam, and wrote it out. And the community just said, go listen to this podcast. And a whole bunch of people said, yes, you know, same thing happened. This is a scam. Watch out for it. So it's crazy how all these things kind of connect and work out.
love the explanation, and it's truly about growing your business. And the Art of Construction is trying to be that overall umbrella, to where within that umbrella, the architects is really what spec to secure the vision. In my day-to-day, as I own a window and door company, the architects is really what start and drive the bus to a successful finished product, when we always talk begin with the end in mind. But I love talking the real world, not just theories, and bringing all that stuff together that you guys teach at CU, and have also understand that teaching mentality. So there's our plug for go check out Inside the Firm podcast. We'll have it on our show notes. You can go back to Art of Construction, our sister podcast. People say there's not enough content out there. Well, get into Devin Tilley's tribe. There's a lot of content that we're putting out there for you to listen to. So with that being said, should we go in into the Jeopardy room and let Audrey take over?
Absolutely.
All right, Audrey, Alex, we're ready for you.
All right, so we're going to go through some basic questions. I don't want to make it too crazy, and then maybe we can have a little bit of dialogue in between some of these questions. And so a lot of them, which is interesting, when you talk about on-site or off-site construction, there's tremendous crossover. And the cool thing about the guys here today is that they have such a great vision for architecture and design, and they've seen kind of, when you're coming from the architecture side, you're also coming from the entire build side, which is really fascinating because you have to think about everything from the beginning to the end. So there's different things about building, and with that, I'm just curious to kind of see how we can cross this all over, like yourself, and talk a little bit more about offsite construction. So my first question is about prefabricated buildings. And I'd like to know if it's A, B, C, or D. And here's the first one. So what are the components included in prefabricated buildings? Is it A, sticks and bricks, B, panel systems, C, building systems and sections, or D, modular units?
All right. Can you see?
Oh, I'm holding them.
Okay, so A, it was A, sticks and bricks, B, panel systems, C, building systems and sections, and D, modular units. So, Devin, you had D.
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 Lance had D.
And Lance had D. Actually, it's B, C, and D that are prefabricated buildings. Sticks and bricks was the only one that was not considered a prefabricated building. All right. So, the next question is, the average size of a modular home, average size for one unit, is it A, 12 by 60, B, 13.9 by 76, C, 14.9 by 72, or D, all the above? So again, I'll ask the question. Average size of a modular home, 12 feet by 60 feet, 13.9 by 76 feet, 14.9 by 72 feet, or D, all of the above?
Do, 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 do. Devin?
Devin has D. Alex has D.
I have A. This is Lance.
It is D.
Yeah!
All of the above. All of the above. All those size units are the most available average size modular homes.
That's actually good to know. You know, I put out a guess, but I'm assuming people are writing this down if they're thinking about it.
Well, and the great thing, too, is when you look at that, modulars are boxes, right? And so when you do a design plan or architectural plan, you can take any architectural plan and size them into these different areas to be able to combine them all.
Yep.
And it's really exciting. Just a plug for Modular SureSite. On a week coming up from now, we have our first ski home that we're doing. It's a beautiful home in Dillon, Colorado. And I believe it has six boxes that are being delivered, which I will be videotaping. I'm super excited about. But most of those are the average sizes that we're using in the, on that project.
And I'm sure, so everybody listening knows, maybe does or doesn't know, that the idea is you're, that we're, the restriction here in the size is what you can put on a semi. Right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yes, you got it. For
right.
sure.
Right. Then that's the, yep. That's where I was toying between A and D, because I know the width, I've been listening, is the key of, you know, the width and depth of the semi, and going down the road, you can only have them so wide. So,
yes.
Excuse my ignorance, you had all the way up. What was the widest?
The longest was 76.
But the widest.
And the widest was 14.9.
So the 14.9 can go down any road?
Yes.
Here's a question. 12 seems standard to me.
Yes.
But when you go up to 14.9, do you have to have the wide load and then the trucks in back and front? Does that then increase costs?
It does, of course, because you've got a larger system that's getting built. You got more weight that's, you know, getting coordinated and going down the road. So, yes, yep. You are correct.
With the 12, does that not have to have wide load, or do all of them have to have wide
load? They're all wide load.
Okay, so then it's...
Yeah. It's just a matter of design and how wide you want your house. You can actually have two boxes that are 14.9 put together, so now you're at, you know, 28 or 29 square feet, you know, feet across.
Yeah, and I think where our minds are going is to maximize efficiencies.
Right.
If we're going to think this way, if you have to have the same parameters for a 14.9 than a 12, why would you not go 14.9 in
your design? I think it's just the design of the home, because when you look at different homes, there's different size rooms, right?
Well, I'm saying if you're trying to maximize, I know in certain areas you have limitations on the job site, blah, blah, but it's trying to maximize those efficiencies.
Do the guys in the field who are building, well, not in the field, but the off-site field, do they ever complain about having to deal with the 0.9 being 10.8 inches?
You know, I don't know. We have to find out. We're going to have to go to the factory and start interviewing those workers.
Yeah.
Well, that was the goal for today, to just have light bulbs go off on these initial, to say, having these awesome experts into Studio SBL is to spark these conversations. And then we want you to give us answers on the message board, and all of us build these questions together to define group answers that's best practices.
I have another question. So these are the common sizes. But could these be interpreted as maxes for these in these three different groups? So meaning, instead of doing 14.9, you do 10 inches instead of 10.8, or 14.6 inches, so then your foundation doesn't have to be a weird thing. You get what I'm saying?
I hear exactly what you're saying, but these are standards for the factory. They've determined these sizes.
Okay, so it is.
It's a
you should design to 14.9.
Yeah, so we may have some crusty manufacturers then that we need
to
teach them.
You know,
back.
It's interesting, because there are some guys in Utah and in California, Blue Homes and Living Homes, and they're uniquely different. I'm trying to find out a little bit more about their product, because most of their products, they're so outstanding. They have glass windows and those types of things. So their products are a little bit different, and those are becoming more boutique type of factories. So it's interesting. I think we got to do a little bit more research
in
that arena.
So it could depend on the factory.
It absolutely does, without a doubt.
In the segment you're going after, day-to-day work with Lance and Alex, so I know that Al works on the production side of things and Lance works on the custom side of things. And it's really cool to have a leader from each of those segments, because it's two very different practices from architecture all the way through. Same with offsite construction.
You know, when we were talking to Ken Semler, which was our second podcast on System Build Lifestyles, it was interesting, because he was even indicating that you can take any type of architectural plans and come up with a system build for that, a design and system build. So it's interesting, even with, you know, Alex and Lance being here and being architects, and actually we even met about doing a possible commercial building in modular. It's so changing on such a great level, and you're starting to find out that there's these systems in place to be able to have these measurements and these tools to be able to design.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say you guys were intrigued to want to talk about it, but sometimes you're over your skis when you're already going down this path.
Yeah.
It's really hard to go put on new skis when you're already going down the hill.
Great analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I see that too. Okay. The next question is, what is the building code for a modular home or offsite construction? Is it HUD, or for A for HUD, or B for IRC code, International Residential Code? And Devin has B. Lance has A.
I have A.
And Alex has B, and the actual answer is B. It's International Residential Code, the same as sticks and bricks. So they appraise for the same value.
Very cool. Good to know. Because basically you're saying you just follow the same standard, even though it's a different system. You have to come up with the same.
That's a great question.
It is.
Because it's from when we started going to school. It's,
yes.
People have misconceived. So when we had Robert on and talking about how you finance and mortgages and all those different things about it, you want to know the parameters if it's the same or different. So that's
absolutely
cool.
And you want to know the same when you're a realtor. Are you selling the same product value as the house next across the street for that? So knowing that it is IRC code is actually really a big benefit to
And
it,
so
to
for HUD,
yes.
Then that comes into play when it's a pure modular, meaning maybe you're bringing just two halves of a house in.
No, it's actually considered mobile. It's not a modular unit.
Mobile, I'm sorry.
Yes,
yeah. So that
you are correct.
And is the difference between modular and mobile? Mobile, it's never on a foundation?
Correct.
Bam.
And it's on wheel.
See, that's the
big...
See,
that's it.
See, mobile and modular you think the same kind of.
Right.
In a way, sure.
I mean, because if you're that's the big difference is they stay on the wheels forever and have the skirts, and that's the mobile home park. Modular is a totally different.
And they're financed differently. The next question is, modular factories. Being that we live in Denver, Colorado, which facility is closest in distance to be able to ship a modular home? Is it Albuquerque, New Mexico, or is it York, Nebraska? So A for Albuquerque, New Mexico, or B for York, Nebraska. Devin has A. We have
Al.
Alex has A.
I have B.
And the correct answer is A, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Wow, you guys are really smart.
I think
that was really tough.
It's coming down to, I think you can just say whatever you want to say pretty soon here. Yeah. You better start getting some of these right.
So we're going to talk about foundations next, and I want to know.
I'm curious, that question makes sense as far as when you're going to offsite construction.
Oh, yes.
I was at the Systems Build Council at IBS, and it's working smarter, not harder. You really got to know where the plants and your distance is. It's kind of like my day-to-day life. When you go to the lowest price window becomes vinyl windows.
Yes.
And vinyl windows, the rule of thumb, and I thought it was intriguing when I was talking to going to school at IBS, I said, the rule of thumb is 200 miles is the matrixes. After 200 miles, you can't make any money shipping vinyl windows because the shipping costs exceeds the profit that comes into putting them in. That's why you see so many little vinyl plants around the country, which I think is interesting, where you see a Marvin or the Anderson Architectural Collection is made in one place in the country because the specialized stuff. So it's that,
the
scale,
the
which inside the firm, I loved your episode when you went into Trader Joe's and talked about the branding and the units versus piece. My brother manages a Sprouts, and that really resonated for me because he said it drives him crazy about managing the produce because coming in and getting, it's like setting up those efficiencies is a key deal here when it comes to offsite construction.
And you're so right. And the other thing that's really interesting about modular too is that you cannot have every type of home without knowing where it's located. This is what I'm, particularly speaking about. So Champion makes a certain type of home and a certain type of style. Champion's actual factory is in York, Nebraska. So Heritage is a custom modular company. So you order that product, and that product is in Wayne, Nebraska. So if you're looking for different types of modular homes, you have to know about those factories, where they're located, ask those types of questions. So those might be things that you want to look into when you're thinking about modular or offsite construction.
Awesome.
Here's a question. Is there a website or some sort of resource that lists all of this and their locations?
There's really not. There's not a resource available now.
But I love
now.
The question.
I do too. I think it's a smart question.
So Audrey and I went to the Google world and started doing what you're doing here.
Yes.
I spent a whole weekend doing what you're doing there to say, where's the resource of, where do you, like, in my day-to-day window world, you go to Anderson for this product, and you go to this, Prime Window for this vinyl window, and you go to these different solutions.
Yeah, but
they don't have that. So Ken Semler created Express Modular, that he doesn't have a plant. He basically is a system that was an on-site constructor to now is a contractor that can license, and he has partnered with an architect firm that has all these plans. And so his critical path is to say, what do you want to build? Here's the type of house. Here's the right manufacturer for that, and works with all these different modular factories. And that's kind of where we haven't had a modular factory on the podcast yet. And that was purposely done because we want to be friends with all the factories, because we all have to know that we have all our strengths and weaknesses, right? When it goes back to the beginning where we had our interviews of from Mountain View Window and Door to say, where does Mountain View fit in our, commercial versus our custom homes? How can we best be a partner? And it's okay to say no. You don't fit. The world has a really hard time of saying no.
Some people like sparkling water. Some people like bottles of wine. It's okay.
It is okay.
There you go.
And it's fascinating bringing it to that point, because when I first started getting into this, I did a search. And there used to be like 24 modular builders in the state of Colorado. Now there's only 14. And each one of them has different factories that they work with and different products that they sell. So it's very interesting. And there's not a way to just go and look for a whole list. You actually have to delegate and go through it. There's not, but maybe I'll do that on Modular SureSafe. Maybe I'll present it.
Yeah, you probably get a lot of traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Or in our, and then we can tie it to our megaphone, the System Build Lifestyle, to be this resource to pull all those stuff together. Because I asked the exact same question, like, well, where do I go for this product?
Right. Yep.
And where do I go to that? And learning the shipping and where, how close are they? And that's a
what's
long
the process,
exercise.
Right? Yeah. How do I get
if
all the pieces together?
You asked it, 1,000 other people asked it.
Right.
Absolutely.
So that's the goal of the show. We're more things to, got a lot of school to go to here.
All right. So the next question is about foundations, because every good home, as you know, through Modular SureSite, is built on a great foundation. So what types of foundations are there for modular homes or offsite construction? A, crawl space. B, basement. C, walkout basement. Or D, all of the above. So Devin had D, Alex had D, and Lance had D, and they are all correct.
I got one.
Yay. He's on the board.
I'll reward myself with a bottle of wine.
Ding, ding, ding. Malbec, right? Okay. So
you're saying is the pods or the modules are put on any type of foundation.
Any type of foundation.
You can go back to episode 1 where we talk about insulated concrete forms. So different ways you can build the foundation. So another whole schooling process of saying, but you got to figure out how those modules or pods are tied to the foundation versus your typical sill plate and anchor, you know, how that is all done. It's stitching or tying in is what you got to figure out, right?
Absolutely. And I think it's interesting that you brought about the sill plate, because I've had this conversation with 3 of my project owners just recently. And that is such a huge component to placing a house and making sure that it's level. And making sure that you have this plate that actually the house goes on top of, and that, you know, that it's squared and level and it's be able to be placed on the property. So,
Modular SureSite is going to put the sill plate and all
Correct.
Those things. And then
the crane picks up the boxes and it places it on top of the foundation of the sill plate. Next question.
Number six.
What type of other modular product is out there? A, apartments. B, duplex. C, commercial buildings. D, all the above.
Do, 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 do.
Devin has D. Alex has D. And Lance has D, and they are all correct.
Yay.
All of those products can be considered modular if they're designed that way.
You mean it's not offsite. Just 2 pieces in a plant and going onto a mobile home? You can do more than that.
You can do more than that. Absolutely. Okay. So when you have a modular site, you actually have these boxes that come on trucks or trailers, and they're actually placed down, and then a crane literally picks them up and places them onto the foundation. So the next question is about the average weight of a box. So a modular box, average modular box, what's the average weight? Is it A, 26,000 pounds? Is it B, 56,000 pounds? Or C, 86,000 pounds? So A, 26,000 pounds, B, 56,000 pounds, or C, 86,000 pounds.
I wanted to do math, but I feel like I don't have enough time.
Okay. Wow. I like that you were like even thinking that. That's brilliant. Okay. Devin has A, which is 26,000 pounds. Alex has B, which is 56,000 pounds. And Lance has B, 56,000 pounds. And the two of you, Alex and Lance, are correct.
There we go.
56,000 pounds is the average weight of a modular box, which
awesome.
Is crazy, right?
And that relates to those 3 initial sizes in I think, in question 1 or 2, right?
Yes.
I mean, we're just kind of around that
Averaging.
Area, right?
Yep. So we're probably about a 14.9 by 60.
Good
what's
for the engineer to know.
What's the max weight a semi can take?
Our trailers.
So 28 tons, huh? Did I do my math right? 2,000 pounds a ton?
Yep. Man, our trailers, which are really small. For the tiny houses, the big ones that we made that are transforming, made of steel and all that, are about, you know, 16,000-17,000. And I think it can do easily 3-4 times that.
Wow.
Yeah.
And the crazy
tiny
thing
homes,
is,
these guys are on HGTV Build a Tiny Home. And the plug for that is, it was so cool. The living in a tiny home, I just don't see it. But what they did is they created Atlas, which is a tailgate machine that is just so cool. So we'll put information to that on the show notes for you to go check out, because that is a true mobile you know, fun zone that can go anywhere, right?
Yep. And then actually someone bought it from us.
Oh, really?
And they are touring the country. And I don't have their feed. Maybe we can put up a plug. But their Instagram, they are just in Arches, and they took beautiful pictures. So you can follow them.
That's super fun.
We'll try to get the link to you guys.
I think they're photographers or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so fascinating.
So their photos.
How did they connect with you?
I don't know how they found us. They just.
So my wife is a realtor.
Oh.
And she helped us sell the tiny house. So she put together the legwork, and I think it's like there's this really interesting listing site for tiny houses.
Really?
And somehow they found us, but they were from Manhattan. Now they're out on this mega adventure, and they bought Atlas Tiny House. We don't have to deal with it anymore. It's great.
You know what's really interesting? Because I was just looking this up online, and actually, so in Pueblo, Colorado, Echo Cabins, which is kind of a tiny home organization, actually sold their company to Sprouts Tiny Home just recently. I think it was $26 million, and they've got an account for 3,000 of these tiny homes between here, Texas, and I think it was California.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
That's good. People keep asking us where they can locate and live, and apparently
Pueblo,
Sprouts.
Pueblo, Colorado is the factory.
There you go.
Wow. We really covered that, didn't we?
Yeah.
All right. True or false? The R value is the construction material's ability to retard the flow of heat. And that answer is true. Devin's got it right. Alex has got it right. And Lance has got it right.
Yay.
So R value is the same thing with sticks and bricks as it is with offsite construction. There's a value to retain or the flow of heat. So the higher the ability to insulate your house is, the higher value of what that R is.
All right. We have two more true or false questions. And Alex is in the lead by one.
Woo.
Oh, you were keeping track.
You would.
Nice. I like it.
Okay. True or false? The average price for a crane service for a day of work is $16,000.
So it's funny you asked us. We rented a crane to build our second tiny houses, but it was a little one, and it did not cost us this much.
No. So this is just an average cost for a crane service for the day of moving modulars onto site, and everyone had guessed true, and that answer is true. That is an average cost for a crane, about $16,000 for the day of service.
There you go.
Whoa.
So you want to make sure if you are bringing in modulars, you are ready for the modulars
set.
To be set.
Absolutely.
Or you are blowing a lot of cash.
You are. You have to be really particular. There's a precise amount of information
that's the average,
to know about it.
But if this is up in the mountains and there's no crane in the mountains, you have to get it there.
Yes.
There's that can really
And it
change.
Depends on how many boxes you're moving to. So true or false? Is System Build Lifestyle Podcast the best resource for gaining information about offsite construction?
You guys better get this one right.
And their answers are true.
All right.
Yay. We made it.
So Alex wins by 1 point over Devin.
Wow, that just means he has to drive home.
Fair enough.
No, I want a better prize than that. That sucks.
I'll get you a Bud Light.
There you go.
Okay, if I'm flavored sparkling water.
All right. Yeah, I don't want
to help him out.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's making a good move with his life.
Fair enough. Well, in closing, one of my call to actions today is a cool story. Then I could go in and you're going to hear it on there, the typical come to iTunes and leave reviews. But this is an honest, truly go-giver philosophy between the two of us. I'm sitting here holding the book, The Creativity Code, Your Guide to Architecture, Design, and Discovering Your Inner Da Vinci by Alex Gore with Lance Psycho. So I have a signed copy from them that, as a micro-influencer, this signature means the world to me instead of some big wig that is just this celebrity. And that's what we're all about here, Tribe. And the way we do it, get more people that learn and grow together, the way the Apple works it, and that's the biggest platform, is reviews. So I got this signed copy because I listened to Inside the Firm podcast, and I was the lucky winner that put a review on their site because they need to grow their podcast just like ours. So my call to action is, hopefully you like it. If you don't like it, so be it. But leave us a review either way. We want to know about that. And if you leave a review and then go into the message board and say something about this conversation that you learned today, one of us four will get in touch with you and have a one-on-one conversation to help you grow your business. And hopefully you go to Inside the Firm as well and leave a review there. So what do you guys say about that? We're working hard, but sometimes it's lonely when you're just talking to a microphone to say, are people really listening and getting something out of this, right?
I love that offer that you give, because, you know, if you leave a review on iTunes, I think is what you're getting at, is that sometimes all you have a very specific question, and it's a topic that maybe came up, but there's some little nuance about it. And all it takes is a phone call, an email, or a conversation to give some clarity. So we're on board for that. You obviously are. So great idea.
And my question is, where can you get your book, The Creative Code?
Creativity Code. Go to Amazon. Code.
Okay.
Type in the creativity code and Alex Gore, and it'll pop up, and order it if you like it. If you're the number 25 review on our podcast, you get a free copy sent to you.
Look at that. And then get those reviews in.
Yep. We even send out PDF versions.
Okay.
If you give a review. So.
And here's a really cool thing about their book. They actually have a checklist and a checkup list. So I think it would be nice for you to actually read this, because it will give you some outline, especially if you're looking to get into this industry, and give you some discovery about what you really value and what you really like to do, and finding out a way to actually achieve that. So kudos to you guys. Congratulations on your new book.
Thanks. And this is a book for which Alex primarily wrote it, and I helped with some interjections here and there. But I think the overall goal that Alex was going after is a broad audience. So this isn't just for architects. This isn't just for designers. This is for the stay-at-home mom. This is for the stay-at-home dad. This is for your grandma, your grandpa, anybody. Because it just gives you an inside peek, sort of peels back the onion, as Devin likes to say, and looks at how do designers actually think. And then once I understand how designers actually think, well, then maybe I can apply that to things in my life.
And I also like, too, that there's a lot of photos and pictures and explanations, so it's easy to read. Congratulations. This is a great resource.
Awesome. So in closing, Alex, if there's anything else you want to plug about the book or give people an insight to that, feel free to do that. And if there's one thing that you want to let our listening audience to help them grow their business, or maybe one thing that was eye-opening for you today that hopefully we put a lot of things out there to talk about when it comes to offsite construction to help us grow our business. Take us home, guys.
So the one thing I have, Lance and I went to the Colorado Economic Summit yesterday, and there was a lot of great insight from that. But what we got is that it takes a tribe to make any real change. And I think that's what you're doing here and what we're trying to do. So whatever goal you're trying to accomplish out there as the listeners, it doesn't have to be building a house. It could be anything. Reach out and start to connect with people, because that's how you'll exponentially make your result happen or grow your result. So that's the only thing that I'd leave our listeners with.
Awesome. And Lance?
If you'd like to interact with us a little bit more one-on-one, we have a private Facebook group. It's Inside the Firm Podcast Facebook group. I think you can go to Inside the Firm Podcast on, you just look, search through it on Facebook, and there's a suggested group. We just had a really awesome listener question, as you bring up, you know, the potential of people interacting with us, where they said, hey, because on one of our first episodes, we started advertising with Craigslist, and that's kind of how we got things off the ground. And they said, hey, do you have a copy of that? Of the original ad. So I actually went back and found one this morning and then showed him, hey, here's how we started out. And this was a student. So if he can take anything from that, which is a basic ad copy, maybe it'll help him flourish and grow and, you know, end up with a nice small size firm and crush it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for being members of our tribe, and hopefully we can all help grow together and keep learning. You know, we learn by doing, and the only constant is change. So thanks for coming back in, and now we have a great show for you guys on Art of Construction Show 74, and stay tuned and subscribe to our newsletters and all the stuff to learn when this one will be available for you on System Build Lifestyle and all the other great conversations as we learn how offsite construction works.
And thank you so much for doing Jeopardy. You know, I really appreciate it.
That's a great idea. Great job.
Awesome. 10 questions, 10 new episodes. Because every question, our gears are turning. And
we're starting to
understand.
People
are so intrigued. When you ask the question of that part, there's all these follow-up questions. And that's how I felt when I was interviewing you on the Art of Construction Tribe. We don't have all the answers. But if we turn the mic on and ask the questions, hopefully you out there listening may have the answers.
Right.
And we can bring this all together. And that's what this show is all about as we're going to school when it comes to modular offsite construction. So great job asking us those questions. And hopefully it spurs a lot of interest and excitement and conversation. Audrey, we're ready to answer those questions, right?
Let's
whether
go
you're
do
a
it.
Manufacturer, whether you're someone who's intrigued, if you're a homeowner that wants to do your own project, we have the resources that we're building through System Build Lifestyle. So Audrey with Modular SureSight has her new company setting her, you know.
Our first house is coming up, which is super exciting.
Awesome.
In the
so
mountains.
When this airs, you'll kind of see that. She's been documenting all that stuff. So we're going to be working with the day-to-day stuff as she runs Modular SureSight. I run Mountain View Window and Door. And how does this all intertwine together like we talked about Katerra in the news?
Absolutely.
There's a lot of stuff that's hitting mainstream.
There's a lot of information about system builds, right?
That is coming out there.
It's definitely converting and changing. It's very exciting. And it's exciting to have architects and being able to interview Alex and Lance and talk to them about their perspective and bringing it over and talking about questions about it. It's really cool.
And talking them in real world, but yet we have to begin with the end in mind. And so you have to be way out in front of this thing. And the ski analogy has really made me think a lot about where we're at in the system build. People are so intrigued and there's so many customers and we need to build so much stuff. And we want to get down the hill, but we got to work smarter, not harder. But we're already on the skis. Like, so we have to go back to the bottom of the mountain. It's like right now, one of my friends is converting from snowboarding to skiing.
Yes.
It's really easy to just jump on that snowboard because you've been doing it your whole life. But you... It's a little bit different and kids to skiing, and I've considered that myself. Man, you just don't have enough time or money to want to change, but boy, you better if you want to move
change
forward.
Change is here, right?
Yeah. So thanks. Good job, Audrey, and another great show, Playing Jeopardy!